Blog Talk Radio.
Collective Minds Radio. Welcome back.
Next of mine.
Back at you.
Welcome back.
This is Brother Kevin.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we got Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all? How was y'all week? What's good?
Yeah, everything been really good. How was yours? I can't complain.
Yeah, it was cool. What happened this week, man? The week's been running together so much. It's been
I know.
Yeah, but all is well on this side for real.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, let's see where y'all minds is.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to dive into it.
Yeah, y'all ready to beat up this topic on abortion? Trying to get the...
I'm ready. Let's roll.
Okay. Well, of course, this is a very simple relevant question. You know, the discussion is about abortion and pro-life or pro-choice. And I thought this was pretty interesting topic. It's an old discussion, I know. This is an old discussion. But it's interesting because I'm for one, it's pro-life. But it's always interesting when I hear people that are pro-choice and the reason, behind it, all that philosophy. But I'm for one, I'm pro-life because, I know we have a lot of irresponsible pregnancies, births, and things like that. But I'm just not for, killing. And I do consider a fetus, an unborn child, life. And if you abort, I consider that killing the child. So, especially as a mother, I just couldn't even simply fathom killing my baby. I'm for life. I'm for all life without any harm or it. I like to protect it and preserve it if I can. But I'm always interested in hearing other people's views, just to get another side, because I'm not for one judging anybody that chooses to do whatever they do. I'm not in a position, or I'm not qualified to judge, but I've been finding it interesting to hear other people's views in regards to it and why they do choose to do what they do. I have some close friends, and I know a lot of people that are close to me that have went through the abortion thing, surprisingly. But, so I'm hoping that they'll get opportunity to call in and kind of, express their feelings in regards to the topic. But how you feel, how you guys feel about it? Since you guys are men, I'm coming from a different point of view as the parent who actually carries the baby. You guys, I know sometimes it'd be challenging for men when it comes to this, because some people feel like you guys don't even have the right to decide because you don't carry the baby.
Right. Yeah. Some people do say that. But as a man, I would say I'm personally pro-life. However, I think the decision ultimately is up to the woman, and I don't think the government or the state, they shouldn't make a law against it or try to regulate, you know, abortions. I think it should be up to, you know, the individual who wants to do it. That's why I say personally I'm pro-life, quote-unquote, if that's, you know, for lack of a better term. But I just don't think, you know, just don't believe in abortions. Like, I've grown to that point to where, you know, I just don't think it's a good option. Now, there are certain situations, like if a woman gets raped or if, you know, if her life depended on either the mother's life or the baby, like certain extreme situations where, you know, you just, some abortions just have to occur. You know, I mean, they don't have to occur, but it'd be safer or better just, you know, if there was an abortion, let's say if a woman get raped, because then what do, you know, with that baby that's been conceived out of, you know, been conceived out of basically a violent crime, you know what I'm saying? So,
you raised the baby.
Who raised the baby? The mother that was raped?
Well, yeah.
That's a whole nother situation. You raised the baby of the rapist, the man that violated you? See, I don't know how that'll play out in the real world. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll just be real.
Yeah, that's tough.
It'll be a real unique situation there.
That's tough, but how powerful.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just for me, like I say, personally, I'm pro-choice. I mean, I'm pro-life or whatever, if that's the term. Which I don't even, you know, like those categories for real, but I'm just, you know, I wouldn't have an abortion personally. Like I said, I've grown because it, I mean, there have been some things in the past, you know, we want to get a little personal, but, you know, just, yeah, I wouldn't do that in the mind state I'm in today.
Yeah.
So,
what about you?
I'm not with it. Nah, but I'll go back before. I wasn't always a pro-life person. I used to be pro-choice. You know, in my younger years, I felt like, you know, hey, it is up to the person. Which is, I mean, it is up to them, but I didn't see anything wrong with it. Because, you know, like you say, if someone is raped or they ain't in a position where they feel like they can handle the kid, you know, in my younger years, I was like, you know, yes, yeah, that's up to them to make that decision. If they ain't ready, then yeah. But as I grew old and started studying what abortion is all about, started loving not only myself more, but humankind more, and started realizing how, in a sense, that it is murder, that it isn't right, you know, because it's not that fetus's fault, but whatever was going on. It's not the fetus's fault that she got raped. So every life deserves a chance to grow and make something of itself. Like I say, I'm with you on one thing, Brother Kev, when you say it's the mother. If it's like if her life is on the line, if it's complications where, you know, she may not make it, I can understand. But to just be like somebody that's in the club and even met some dude, you went back and you had sex with this person, pregnant, like, oh, dude, I just want to get rid of it. Nah, that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, it's not that fetus's fault. But like I said, I do understand that mindset, because when I was young, I didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, I felt the same way, like it's ultimately up to the person, I mean, the woman who's carrying the child, what she wants to do with it. And even now, by me saying I'm pro-life, I still can't force a woman to do nothing with her child. You know, she's pregnant, that's the decision is up to her. I don't have that power to to make her keep the child or not. So the power is really in the woman's hands. I mean, us as men, we kind of like on the outside of this. We can say what we want to say and try to persuade what we would like. But at the end of the day, the woman does have the choice to do what she wants to do. In this society that we live in, you know, you got those claims out there that allowed it to happen. Fast forward and into that. Is, and I know Brother Kevin may want to talk on this more about in the black community how that type of process of being pro-choice was used to be detrimental to our community. And a lot of these Planned Parenting buildings were set up to go against us, to weaken us as a society, to limit the amount of children we produce. So that's a whole nother, aspect of this conversation. But without going too deep into that, yeah, I just want to say that I am pro-life, but I wasn't always pro-life. Like I said, I did begin as being a pro-choice person.
So what do you think changed your view, like, before, when you were pro-choice, like, you just felt like, you know, whatever, or you just didn't think too much deep, you didn't think deep into it, or what do you think it was, or you just didn't think you had, like, experiences or something like that?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I went through a situation with a woman where we together came up with the decision at a young age to abort a child. And after doing it, and I went with her with the procedure and everything, and after, you know, after it was over with, I just remember that ride home back from the clinic and just the looking at her and what she was going through, how she was feeling, you know, I was like, man, I just didn't feel good about what we did. And part of me was saying we did the right thing, but the other part of me was like, that didn't feel right. So as I started to, that opened up my mind to think more deeply about that decision that we made. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask both of you guys, I think Brother Kevin may have answered this already, but I don't know if you did, Mufasa. Do you guys think that the decision is only up to the woman because we carry the baby, or do you think it's a joint decision that should be made? Like, do you think both parents involved should come to the agreement, or do you think it's really the woman thing?
I mean, ideally, I would say it should be up to both parents. Oh, they should both come to, you know, an agreement or to some type of understanding as to what they're going to do. I think it should be up to both parents. But at the end of the day, since the woman is carrying the child, you know, she can do whatever she wants to do on that tip, unless you go, you know, physically restrain her. But I think ideally, yeah, I think the woman should consult with the man. Like, you know, let's make a decision as to what we're going to do. Like, this is it's really half and half. But when
now
it comes
down to it,
like I say.
Let me ask you, do we know that, like, legally, like, if a father wants to fight, you know, the woman's decision to abort, do he have rights legally? Do we know that?
Legally, I don't think he has rights. I'm not sure.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so if the woman decides to abort, the father don't have any rights to fight that or put a halt to that decision?
I'm not sure.
That differs from state to state. So we would have to look into those laws to see, but that could be something that changes. state to state, country to country, as far as the legalization of it. But, you know, on that first question that you was asking, I also feel that the man should be a part of that discussion as well. Also, especially if he's in the life, in the relationship with the woman, and, you know, he knowingly know that he created with this woman. Yeah, I mean, it's different situations, but in a situation where you got a man that know what he did, they together, then yes, he should have the right. He should have a say in that decision. And I think it would be, you know, quite angry of a woman to just not even exclude him in the choice, in the matter.
Right.
Yeah. I agree, especially from a woman's point of view. Let's see what the caller has to say. We're going to take one call right now, trying to get some more action, some more opinions about this. We're going to take the caller from area code 314-705. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thanks Hello? For calling in, caller. How you doing? Can you hear us?
Hey.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
So we having a discussion about abortion. Now, we will...
Hello?
Are you pro-life or pro-choice?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you,
yes.
Fine.
Okay. I'm sorry, there's a delay. I am definitely pro-choice based on some of my own experiences in life. And what my life would be like, and unfortunately the person that I would be stuck with, and I was much younger than I am now, and I think for me it was the best personal decision. I think that for everyone else, I think they should be able to choose, because of course we have situations where people are raped and molested, and children come out of those from those types of situations, and it not only scars the mother of the person who was, raped or abused, but the children can be scarred too. So I think giving everybody a personal choice is the right way to do it. And I also think that we should be pro-choice because, unfortunately, we'll go back into the 70s where people were, you know, aborting babies with hangers and castor oil and all kinds of crazy remedies, and I just don't think that's the I don't think that's the safest way to be for women's health.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, I agree with that because what I was saying is, like, personally, I'm pro-life, but I don't think the state or the government should regulate that. Like, I don't be like, you know, I don't think they should tell people that they can't have an abortion. I just think, as far as, you know, personally, I wouldn't do it. But I don't think that the state should have a right to tell people what to do, you know, with their bodies and their offspring to a certain degree, you know.
And so, one other component I think I wanted to add to is that I do not have any children, and as I got older, I chose not to have any. And I don't know if some people think that, you know, maybe that was selfish or something like that, but for me, I've dealt with mental self and my family, and I knew there was, I mean, some really bad cases in my family where I was worried about myself and the ability to be able to be mentally strong to take care of a child too. So, you know, I didn't.
Right.
When I was younger, I made the decision because I was younger. Not, you know, as I got older, I learned, hey, maybe this is not for me. But yeah, I think everybody should be able to do what they want to do. Like you said, the state shouldn't be able to be involved at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a question for you, Kyle. Okay,
yes.
Now, what would you say to a female or for a situation that where you have a woman that constantly gets impregnated and either going through an abortion, constantly going through these abortions, or even, what's that called, that drug that they take? Overnight pill or whatever it is called. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Morning after pill, right.
Morning after. There we go. So what do you think about women that are constantly getting pregnant and just not being responsible for their actions? Say they killed oh, I shouldn't have said that word, y'all. They have aborted three children. What should be done to her? Do we constantly give that woman the choice, or do you think something should be done to handle that with her? Should something be to society or should the government, should somebody step in to correct this woman and what she's doing, or do we just keep allowing her to abort these babies?
That is such a hard one, because when I'm at the grocery store, for example, and I was at the grocery store the other day, and I saw somebody who had, and she was, I mean, the kid, she didn't look like she could take care of any of them. And unfortunately, because people do have, you know, choices, it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to, like, you know, chemically sterilize or chemically castrate people. I mean, there's men who run around making a bunch of babies and things like that, too. It's a question of ethics, and to me, that's when you're getting into, for myself and my beliefs, where you're playing God. So I really don't know, because it's not, sometimes I believe that the people that continuously keep doing that really have no conscience, really don't care, think that abortion actually is the solution for reckless behavior. And I don't know, and this is going to sound so hypocritical. If there was a law that said, hey, if you have five abortions, your next one we have to sterilize you, I might actually vote for that. And I know that sounds so wrong, but that I think that women that continuously keep doing that are women who just keep having babies and they can't afford them, and or to be able to not just afford them, but mentally and physically and spiritually take care of them. It's a detriment to the children. So I'm on the fence. I guess I'm a hypocrite in that one, and that's horrible, but that's my honest opinion.
Indeed.
Yeah, and so I was really
situation. You kind of breaking up, Mufasa. Okay, we got you now. You just kind of breaking up.
Yeah, I was just saying that, yeah, I wouldn't quite call you a hypocrite. I just know that this is a complicated topic. And it's so many different variables that go into this conversation.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of different variables. So,
I mean, Lovely, what would you say to a female? Do you think something should be done to a woman that's constantly aborting child after child after child?
You mean something should be done?
Yeah, should somebody intervene, step in? Like, in a situation like that where she's exercising her pro-choice constantly over and over. I mean, at the same time, like we said, a woman should have a right to choose. But how do you feel when a woman is constantly choosing to abort child after child after child? Do you still think does that bother you also?
Well, I won't say that it honestly – it doesn't really have a personal effect on me, to be quite honest. I just have an opinion, and it's that I don't think that it's good to abort. I'm always an advocate for rehabilitation. So if a woman does try to or want to exercise her right to abort, and I think we should have programs of some type of things put in place for certain type of consultation. Because sometimes, just like you guys just said in the beginning of the talk, that you at one point when you were younger didn't see things the same way now. So sometimes people just need that extra awareness, you know, to make them see things differently, to make them recognize certain things that they may not be aware of, you know. So I think we should have different types of programs or something in place to not just counsel them. I've never went through an abortion myself personally, but I have heard that when you go through it, I believe they do kind of talk to you, but I don't think it's the same type of counseling that I'm speaking of. You know, I think, like with most things, I always fall back on spirituality, you know. So I think if a person can be spiritually strong, it can help them overcome things that we believe we cannot overcome. As an example, speaking about abortions and how a woman could have gotten impregnated from just isolated incidents like molestation, like the caller mentioned, a rape, like I've heard over the call before, those types of, you know, unnormal things, and they're horrible things, you know. But it's not, I for one feel like we can overcome challenges in our life, and you never know. Certain things is just so unforeseen. So I like to try to take things as natural as possible. And to me, a pregnancy is as natural as you can get, because just because you screw somebody, that doesn't mean you're going to automatically get pregnant. So that means that just the fact that the woman became pregnant was some things that was out of everyone's control. So I feel like that's a natural process happen. And, you know, everybody have a cross to bear. So whatever will come from it, good or bad, I think we have the ability to overcome it. And I think we just have to know that in our mind when we go through these things and say, oh, my God, well, I was raped, or I don't know if I can see this child again. I know it will be challenging. Trust me, I know these things are challenging, but what I'm saying is that I feel like we have the strength to overcome those things that we are, you know, that's tough, you know. So I just like to, you know, say don't abort, you know. You just never know. And from my own experience, and although I never had an abortion, and I'm not speaking from a rape victim or anything like that, but I had two very challenging pregnancies, you know, and especially my last one. Thank God my baby's 11 years old now, but even with her, with the ordeal that I went through, it was, I had, and I think they may ask every mother anyway, if they have to choose, you know, you or the baby, you know. So I was definitely with my issues with my last pregnancy, especially. They say they usually lose one person. So even with that, it's so many things that I feel like is beyond our control. And I just think if we have a strong spiritual guidance, I think things going to be okay. You know, I think things will be okay, because we may think, okay, you may lose one of the child or the mother, but you might not. And I'm a witness to that. They say they use one person from my situation, either the child or the mother, and they didn't. We both still here. So even though we have situations that you're like, okay, well, my baby is probably going to be born like this, or this is going to be a rough pregnancy for me, it might not. So it's things that are unforeseen. I just think if your spiritual background is strong enough, I think you'll be strong enough to overcome the things that we fear, and also realize that the things that we fear might not even happen, you know. So I'm just pro-life, you know, but it don't affect me personally. I'm not angry at a woman if she says, okay, I'm getting ready to get 10 abortions back to back. It doesn't anger me, you know, but it does compel me to want to talk to her and get an understanding from her to know why, you know. So I'll be more compelled to want to know and sit down and talk with her to understand where she's coming from, to understand her perspective, you know. So I don't get angry, though, with the answer.
Let me ask you this, Love Lachey. So, okay, you pro-life, so do you think the abortion should be illegal? Would you go that far? And as for you too, Mufasa, after she answered, do y'all think abortion should be illegal since y'all pro-life, quote unquote?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that it should. Okay, well, maybe I can put it like this, because for me, when it comes to law, though, I will definitely say I know the law is corrupt and crooked as everything, but ideally what it's supposed to be is supposed to be stand-up morals for the United States of America, or just the country's period, you know. So I would be okay if the country was not for it, but as far as to enforce certain things upon the person who chooses to do it. Now, I think that may be a little, you know, too far, if that makes any sense. I'm okay if they say, well, this is not something that we agree with, and we're not getting rid of it. And I don't mind them taking off the abortion clinics either. But then I know we'll be faced with other issues, okay, for the ones that do want to do it. You know, then you run into a situation where they're going to do it and hurt themselves and, you know, just all kind of messed up stuff behind from inexperience or just not being done a proper way. So, but it wouldn't be a problem for me if legally they say, well, no, I'm just not going to agree with this because I think from a moral standpoint, it's okay to try to guide us in a certain way, you know. But I don't think it would be good to, you know, say, well, you're gonna go to jail or, you know, these types of things. I would like to see if anything was to happen based off a woman choosing to do it, is that maybe she'll have to do, like I said, some sort of a counseling session in regards to her actions or something like that, but not any horse type punishments where, you know, she's gonna get penalized or have to go to jail, things like that. But I would like to see that she would need to, you know, really have a discussion with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I somewhat agree. I wouldn't want them to be legal. I disagree with them being illegal because situations do occur that abortions may still have to take place. But even with what Lovelace was saying with, like, the counseling session, I would say you do have to put big guidelines, strict guidelines on the abortions that are approved. You know, you have to go through not just one counseling session, but, you know, several counseling sessions. And everything should be as much support as can be put around this woman to let her know you don't have to go through this alone. We need to build stuff like that. We need to create things like that to help nurture a woman that's in a situation where she feels like she needs to abort a child. So as a community, as a society, we need to do more to support a woman in a situation like that so she don't feel like that's her only way out, her only option. Because like I said, for a woman to get into, it's a lot of, you know, women out there that are like the ones I say, they get pregnant over and over again. I don't want them to be allowed to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I do believe they should be held responsible. If you coming back to the abortion clinic and we got records that this is your second, third time, you know, second time, okay, but your third time you come up here, oh, no. No, matter of fact, we may even just tie your tubes, you know. Ain't no need that you even have the opportunity to get pregnant no more because you can't keep on aborting these children. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I would like to add this too, though. I think, you know, right now it seems, you know, just thinking quickly off the top of my head, it wouldn't be a horrible idea to, when a person comes in to do an abortion, they are actually checked in and admitted, and like Mufasa was saying, go through a series of, you know, a process. Strenuous process things, you know, they're actually checked in. And I think if it was to be done in that manner, where it's incorporated with some type of program to actually rehabilitate and actually change the situation or circumstances so that it don't happen again, I think that's helpful. Now, if we were to go outside of those guidelines and say, well, you know what, I'm pregnant, I don't want them people all up in my business, I ain't going to get checked into nothing, I'm going to just carry my baby, then I don't think that I'm wondering if something should be done in that situation, because I think if you are a serious individual about what you're doing, it shouldn't be a problem with you wanting to talk to somebody about the situation to make sure that you're getting the best care for yourself and the baby. you know.
Right.
So I don't think it should. Yeah. I mean, so I know, Brother Kevin, you don't think it should be legal.
No. Yeah, I don't think it should be illegal.
Caller still on the line?
I'm still here. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
No, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Do you think abortion should be illegal?
Do I think abortion should be illegal?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think it should be illegal. I mean, I don't think we should start. I mean, there's enough laws in place to criminalize people and, unfortunately, people of lower incomes and different social and economic backgrounds. I think that's just going to create a whole other class of, unfortunately, women in jail, you know. And we have enough, especially in the Black community, we have enough Black men in jail. We don't need to start locking our women up.
Yeah.
True.
Indeed.
And then there's another part to, you know, abortions in the Black community. So just in case the listeners don't know that a lady named Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood, and Margaret Sanger was a part of the, 20th century eugenics movement. Basically, the eugenics movement was like, okay, we got a superior race. We want to maintain and build on that superior race, and we want to control the population of the lower classes, quote unquote. So Margaret Sanger, thought Black people were inferior, and she kind of started Planned Parenthood to kind of control the Black populations through sterilizations, through other programs, you know, like abortion and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's just a little something for the listeners to, do a little research on that. That is Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, was part of the eugenics movement, and basically wanted to control the population through abortions and, you know, sterilization. So, yeah, that's you guys' homework for tonight. but that's just another twist to, you know, abortions in the Black community, because they say we actually do abort a lot of our seeds, and we're talking about, you know, potential doctors, lawyers, potential people who could, you know, help us out in society that are being aborted, you know, at an early age. Like, we talking about the next Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, so if you are pro-life, what type of sexual education do you think should be taught to people? Do you think what should be the practices that we teach them? Because at one time I remember when we were younger, it was about abstinence, and then it became about protect yourself. Because it seems to be the abortion is the end of the spectrum. That's when you've already had the problem. Where do you start at the beginning, and what do you believe should be taught in school, and at what age should we start teaching our children whatever the practice?
Right, indeed. I think, go ahead, Lovely. I'll let you handle it. Go ahead, and then I'll come back.
Okay, well, I was just going to keep this short and simple, because like I said before, and like I say often, is that everything for me starts with a spiritual awareness and a spiritual kindness. So I believe those things are first implemented, you know, within the home. Unfortunately, I'm aware, I know that we have a lot of broken homes. You know, but I do think that, you know, we need something to bring us back to a spiritual grounding. I think that's the problem. The things that we have problems with, I think it's because we have a lack of our spiritual awareness and our spiritual connection. We lost access. And I think it creates so many problems. But although I know it would be a lot of work, I do think that it should start at home first and then somehow just kind of reinforce with the schools, but we can't really depend. Me personally, I'm not going to put too much on nobody as far as what I'm responsible for. So if the school don't do their job, I still feel like I have a responsibility as a parent and as a person to do what I'm supposed to do. So I bear the bulk of the responsibility to instill in myself and in my kids about it, you know. But I do think it starts with a spiritual awareness first, you know, so that way they can understand about sex, life, you know, birth, and just partnership, familyship, community, all those things. You know, I think it stems from a spiritual knowing.
But yeah. How do you get that across to a young 13, 14-year-old with hormones jumping? How do you get that across to them to prevent them being in a situation of abortion?
Well, that's why you can't wait till they're 13 to make them more spiritually aware. You can't wait till they're 13. I think, like we had this conversation before, I'm almost reluctant to even say this now, but it starts the minute that the child is in your stomach. You can't wait until they a certain age to begin making them aware and awakening them spiritually. You can't wait. You gotta awaken them the minute that they're in you. The minute you know. You have to start to teach them and nourish them and awaken their spirit, because when you wait, they're getting off to a late start, and that's our problem anyway with our community. We have too many late starts. You know, we always have to catch up, and I think that burdens us. I want to wait until they're 13 to make them more, because I still, like I always say, I think the spiritual awareness is so key that it will help so many other things that they go through in life. And so by the time they do reach that age of 13 where their hormones are going wild and rapid, I think they'll have a little more grounding about it, you know. So I personally think that.
Indeed. I agree with everything Love Lachey just said. And I would add on, you know, I think we should start with, you know, managing people's emotions and them having a full understanding of sex and how powerful it is and, you know, all the things that can happen out of sex, and just really being open and not having this fairy tale where we got to talk about abstinence and don't do it. So to specifically answer the question, I think it should be focused a lot more on safety and contraceptive and preventative measures, you know, handling your emotions. What are you feeling? Do you have people to talk to? Can you open up and talk to someone about issues you're having as far as a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, how you're feeling sexually, what type of, you know, just feelings that you have. Because a lot of times if you talk to people, that's a form of counseling, you know what I'm saying? So I think the schools should focus on safety. They should explain, you know, that sex is a very powerful, it's nothing to play with. Like when you play with sex, the joke is on the kid, you know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, it's really nothing to play with. You have to respect your body. You have to respect others' bodies. You know, so I just think it should kind of start with a different concept of what sex is and all the things that can manifest, you know, and how powerful, like, because we play around with sex a lot, but sex is very, very powerful. There's magic in it. There's things that you can bring about a whole life having sex. So these things need to be understood. Like, it's not just this feel good thing that you do to get one off and feel a few minutes of pleasure. Like, this can really result in a whole nother life, a whole nother being being brought up on this planet. You know what I'm saying? So I think if we drove home the power of sex, the concept, and how you need to be very responsible when you're having sex, you know, then people would be, you know, they'd just have more knowledge and more education. That way, you know, they wouldn't be so prone to get themselves into a situation where they just look up and be like, I'm pregnant, because I've always been one to be like, there's no such thing as an accidental pregnancy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a man. I kind of had my kids late in life. You dig what I'm saying? But it was up to a point where, you know, I was using contraceptives every time, like, you know, well into, you know, into my late years. So I'm like, you know, that I never had no slip-ups, no problems, no issues, if you know what you're doing and you know how to use these certain contraceptives. There's no such thing as a slip-up, because you know if it come off, you know, for a man, I'm speaking from a man, you know if the condom slip off, or you know if it ain't on right, or you know when you're about to come and all this other stuff. So you know these things. So there's no excuse, or there's no, you know, like, oh, I didn't know, and it just slipped up, and you know this and that. No, you knew exactly what you was doing, and you knew what should have came about. You dig what I'm saying? So we just need to be... you know, look at sex a little different and be more responsible and respect it more as
right.
something that's very magical and, you know, can create a miracle, you know.
Yeah, that's
and
what I was going to say. It's for, you know, sex is for birth purposes. It's to
Fact.
Have babies. And they need to, and a lot of the kids need to know that. They don't understand that, because sex is glorified on TV and videos as
right.
if it's just recreation. And it's not.
Right.
They show it as if it's recreation, but it's for birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's why it's so pleasurable, because if it wasn't, you think somebody's going to have a baby? No.
Right.
It's so painful to have a baby. You got to make sex feel good, because if ain't nobody gonna want to have no baby if sex didn't feel good. So it's designed that way because it's for
right.
birth purposes. So it makes the first action of it so, you know, so pleasurable, so that way you can reproduce.
Right. Let me add this to what y'all saying, because y'all make real good points with it. So I'm gonna attack it from another angle. Because I say y'all touched on all that pretty good. What do y'all think about chemically or scientifically doing something to kids to make them sterile until they are ready or old enough to have children? Then they can go and get, say, some procedure, take some pills, stop getting this certain injection that you have to take before you can have a child. So that takes out the possibility of even getting pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there to add to the dynamic of what we're doing.
Nah. I can already say 100% I'm not with that at all, because it's not natural enough. I try to be as
right.
natural as possible. You know? Try to be as natural as I possibly can. That's not natural enough.
Right.
I wouldn't with that. Then you got to create something to make it. So that means whatever you create that's going to put inside of our natural bodies is going to compromise it and compromise our natural flow and natural ability of doing whatever. I just wouldn't want to take the risk of it. It just don't sound right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, actually, I hear what you're saying. It sounds good. But I'm with Love Lachey. I would be reluctant because it's not natural. And what just happened to, you know, taking a natural course, just being responsible. And I guess that would be something that you would do for, like, your kid. Is that what you're saying, Mufasa? It'd be something you do for your kid until they get
older. Yeah, to do with kids, period. Because, like, I'm with y'all on that it's not natural, but also having to get an abortion is not natural. That's not natural also. So we're already dealing with something that's not natural. So
right.
what's wrong with just taking it another level and just straight up preventing the possibility of getting pregnant by mistake.
Right. I think it's going too far because then you're touching on, like, your body is your temple. Like, each individual has a right to their own body and own, you know.
The abortion, though. It's the same. It's the same argument. You know, it's exactly because you're doing something unnatural and you defiling your temple too by having something go up in you and pulling out your fetus and pulling out a life. So,
if you can't beat them, join them.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we're saying that we're pro-life. So we don't like the abortion. Okay, we don't agree with that, with the abortion. But we wouldn't even have the discussion of the abortion if we do implement something that prevents them from getting pregnant.
Right, but what will happen is that we'll bring about another discussion. So we just gonna wipe out abortion discussion, but we're gonna be having, I guarantee you, a whole nother discussion in regards to that.
Taking a flu shot or any type of other immunization.
I got one for you.
How about this? What about, because I'm throwing them all out here. You know how I am. Let's throw all the ideas out there. What about having when male children, oh man, y'all gonna love this. With male babies, you just go ahead and give them a vasectomy coming out the womb.
Then the population stops.
Right. But wait, hold on. But when they're ready, when they of age and they're ready, then you just reverse the vasectomy.
No.
That's too much.
Yeah. The failure rate is too high trying to reverse a vasectomy.
It's easier with society if we would just set up things in our culture where we prevent this type of activity. Like, it should be some type of cultural standard that we abide by to where our kids are not prone to having a lot of abortion, or even our young adults, you know what I'm saying, where it's just not prone to have, though. Like, we can set up something culturally rather than surgery or vasectomies and all that other stuff. We can set up, like, rites of passage and other type of things to prepare our kids' mind to where they won't even, you know, have to do that. Because if you're talking about having a vasectomy on kids, and no, you got to give that man a chance. Because what about the kids that want to, it may be a 17-year-old or 18-year-old that want to have a kid. Like, you dig what I'm saying? Then what do we do? Like, they may just be married and they may want to, you know, if they at that legal age, they may want to have a kid. You know, they don't want to be sterile and have to go through the reversal process and, you know, all that. Yeah. So
I'll say this, though, you know, but that putting that to the side, I totally agree with what y'all were saying. And this is society problem, because like you said, in other cultures they don't have this type of issue. See, you got to implement moral standards and values back in our society. We got this society now where we just can do whatever we want to do,
and you there's no separation from adulthood to childhood.
Right.
Say it again. I missed you. Say it again.
I said there's no separation from adulthood to childhood. Like, you know, all the parents, you know, 40 is the new 20, and, you know, you see 9-year-olds and their mothers in the same, you know, twerking videos and crazy stuff like that.
So that's
the real big problem here, is the breakdown of family values, structures, and we definitely need to get back to that. That has to be put back in our society. It needs to be respected.
Yeah. I think we play around, like Love Lachey said, like sex is looked at as just recreation and fun, and you know, we just play around with it too much, and then you pop up pregnant, you go taking that test, you feeling funny, and, you know, you go take that test, and you like, what I do, and who the daddy, and what's this, and if you know who it is, like, do if we go be together, like, you know, you have all these questions and thoughts because of that one night you was playing with sex, feeling good, you know, and, you know, it just went down, but we got to get back to respecting that magical act that we know is sex.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one thing that needs to be more enforced. The kids need to understand even before school. Don't be afraid. Right. Don't be a parents. We don't have to be afraid to discuss sex to our children, even when they're babies. It's okay because right. They need to know that sex is how you create babies. That's what it's for. Because like I said before, it's so glorified as just recreation. The thing is, what society teaches them now is how to have sex without becoming pregnant, and that's not the way to go. They need to have a full and better understanding that sex is for babies, and just say that sex is for having babies, and they would know that. And if they don't want to have a baby, then they're going to wait, or at least most of them will be in their hands, okay, well, because it was groomed to them that way. You know, that's what sex is for. It's for having, it's for building family. And if you ain't ready to build no family, you need to sit your butt down and read them books and do what you got to do around here to get your butt married. And I know that, you know, that's
hold
ideal,
on, wait
and
minute,
I know
wait
you
minute.
Don't have
wait a minute, hold on. Did you just say sex is for nothing but
babies? I'm saying
what?
Sex is for building families and having babies. Yes,
you mean after I had my kids, I got to stop?
Well, hold on a second. And I know we're going to front range right here, right now. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because I've never been married and I have two kids. But you're supposed to, you know, be in a union, you know. So I'm not going to suggest to a couple that has united and chosen to, you know, walk this walk together as a couple and build families together. Because you guys have already committed to one another, and that's what you're doing. If you're going to have sex and your mate end up being pregnant, you're still in a family structure with her, you know, marriage or whatever, you know. But and I would like to think you guys are not thinking I'm about to abort. I'm going to go get this abortion. Now, I think it would be very irresponsible for you guys as a couple to know what sex is for, still be involved and then get pregnant and then say, well, we're getting ready to abort. I can understand that thought coming up for two people who's not committed to one another. I can understand why that thought would come up to them, you know, because they're in a relationship or they're not in a relationship or whatever, you know. But if, you know, if you're married and you, you know, if you choose to, you know, indulge, and if your wife becomes pregnant, then you just bear the responsibility. You know, I feel like the commitment is not just between you and your wife; it's with the whole package. Is if we have a baby, we building our family. It's just what it is. It's not like we're getting ready to go and do an abortion.
The only place I'm jumping off at is
I agree we got to train each other up on being careful, being and practicing safe sex and doing everything you can to not having a child if you're not ready. But hey, I mean, sex is for me is more than just having creating.
I know it is. I know it is, because for one, you don't. I know it is for one. You're a man and you don't carry the baby. You know, so we got the aftermath. You guys get aftermath too when it comes to raising the baby. But we really go through a whole nother situation once we have chosen to have indulge in it. You know, so we have a different experience from. And like I said before, I can guarantee you, you can go tap any mother on her shoulder and ask her if sex wasn't pleasurable, would she have 10 kids or would she have one? And I guarantee you, it ain't going down. You ain't going to get nothing. You ain't getting nothing. So the pleasure of it is so that we can be tricked into giving these babies out here. So yeah. I think sex is for building a family and building communities and raising and babies.
Right. I agree. Look, the act of sex is for reproduction purposes. However, kids are not for everybody, like the caller stated before. And then some people want to just have sex for pleasure or for recreation, which when you get to a certain mind state and a certain, you know, point in your life, that's cool. Because kids ain't for everybody. Some people just want to live and, you know, do their thing. Like, that's not it. But the act of sex is for reproduction purposes. Like, we the only person on the planet to have sex.
Let's go ahead.
All the animals have sex on the planet for reproduction purposes only. Like, they don't do it just for fun. You know what I'm saying? We're the only creatures that do it for fun.
And let's take another call and get another opinion about it, because I think that's where I can foresee that gap needs to be met at, because we need to teach the kids from a young age that, hey, sex is for having babies. So let's get a call and see what this caller feels. Get caller from the 314-320. Caller, are you there? 314-320.
Yeah, but I just called in, so I was trying to get just everybody's opinion, and actually I haven't really even heard the question
in. Well, let's say thank you first off for calling in, but the topic today that we are having is about abortions. We're just having a light conversation about abortions. You pro-life, pro-choice, and why is that?
Well, I'm definitely pro-choice. Although I've seen firsthand what abortions actually do, and that it is actually like murder. So I did feel some type of way. But with today's society and, you know, all these other factors, you know, like some parents, like you said, aren't fit to be parents, and, you know, their situation may not, you know, allow them to have a kid. So that's what makes me still remain and stand on being pro-choice, although I do feel like, you know, it's like we've kind of taking away a life of a child that could have had a chance to be something great, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see both sides.
Now, you also said you had a question.
I'm sorry?
You also said you had a question that you was going to pose?
No, I was saying that I didn't hear the original question.
Oh, okay.
I see both sides too, though. You know, I can see both sides, but I'm choosing to pick pro life because I think, you know, most of the things, you know, point towards being pro life. Most of the if I'm going to judge anything to be right and wrong, you know, or good and bad, I'll lean towards pro life. You know, we already, I feel like we pro-choice, we already know we have a choice because we can break the law and still choose to do things, you know. So the choice has been given to us regardless. You know, we just have to be responsible with our choices. You know, the choice is there regardless of if we want to acknowledge it or not. But we have the choice because even if we don't have abortion clinics or whatever, it's still a way to abort the child. So the choice is there regardless. I think that's just kind of irrelevant to even say.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this
but
to the
a
call,
lot of people are making the wrong choice. And
exactly.
And a lot of taxpayers have to pay for it.
What are the circumstances, Carla, that you feel that you had the choice to make? I mean, the choice to choose abortion. What circumstances would come up that would make you say that abortion is okay?
I mean, circumstances may not be right in my life and situation where I may not be ready or able or, you know, deserving of. I mean, it could be a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of these girls out here on welfare and have 100 kids and knowing they don't need another one, but, you know, a layup and, you know, get pregnant again. I mean, I'm not saying, okay, we can go one step forward and prevent it by giving them a shot or, you know, what's the thing they put in the arm? And it lasts for like 5 or 10 years. Right. So they don't get pregnant. I mean, that should be like mandatory when you've been on welfare more than 5 years and you having child after child after child after child.
Now, see,
are those things reversible? Like, can you get them out and whenever you want
yes,
to?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
but
see,
if they get them out,
that we could do that. That's something I had said earlier. I had put some on the table, and maybe we should do that earlier in someone's life, and just let them when they feel that they're ready. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Before they had the opportunity to even get pregnant, just introduce that at an earlier age. And when that person feel that they're ready to have a child, boom. You know.
But I'm making it a requirement. And some people can't make that choice because they have 6 or 7 kids and on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old. I'm like, no, let's take away your choices. Everybody, you know, shouldn't be allowed to make that choice. Let's prevent the pregnancy, wean you off welfare, and make you have to own up to your decision. Because if I have a child, unfortunately, I make too much. I'm have to take care of mine,
mm-hmm.
whether I want to or not. So this person who I feel is living off of me, you, everybody, whatever, should have to eventually own up to their decision. And if they stop it after 1 or 2 children, and use that money to get them a trade, some type of education, something else, instead of paying for them to live. You know how you teach a person how to fish, they can eat forever instead of just giving them a fish and letting them just eat right then and there?
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I think... Right, we could put that money toward educating them or giving them a trade or something.
Now,
how
do you feel about a woman who constantly gets back-to-back abortions, though? What about this woman is abusing the abortion?
That's why she said take away their choice.
No, she was saying that if they have so many children, that you take away their choice. And, you know, children number 8, 9, still popping these babies. And the government have to take care of them. We take care of them. So I'm asking her, how does she feel about the same person who she over-exercised her right of constantly getting abortion after abortion after abortion? What do you think that
Well, go tell me, what do you think should be done about that person? Would you have a problem with that as well?
Well, no, and let me tell you why. That person has to mentally deal with the fact that they're choosing to have an abortion after abortion after an abortion and reevaluate their life. But they're paying for this service. We're not paying for it. They're making this choice. They have to live this life. As long as they are taking care of them and they're not forcing me to, I can't really intervene and, you know, say or judge.
I think we should do the same thing to them like we're doing with the girl that's on baby number 8 and we taking away her choice. I think we should do the same thing with this, with that woman, and take away her choice to continue to get pregnant. Hit her with the same thing, the shot, or whatever else we need to do to prevent her from constantly getting pregnant. Because that's just, you know, that's just ridiculous to be popping abortions like that back to back to back.
Yes, but there's no reason to intervene. Like, morally, I think that it's wrong. Morally, I agree. I think that it's wrong. But for me to intervene and she's not costing the taxpayers money, or we don't have to intervene and take care of her children or feed them every month or house them or, you know.
Yeah, I see. You coming from the standpoint of you looking at what society or what we coming out of our pocket. So I got where you're coming from. But I have
that's
to,
the only way it affects us.
Yeah, I have to look at it morally too, because by me being a pro-life person, I consider the life that she's constantly taking. So not only do I agree with you, but I also can take in the fact that she's taking all these different lives, and I have to interject on that as well, because I don't feel you should be taking a life like that. You know what I'm saying? So morally is where I will step in on that as well. But I know where you're coming from. I'm with you on it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Those are valid points.
We don't hit our pocket.
But just for
her pocket. No, I was just saying, she said stay out of her pocket. She ain't got time for that.
Yeah, I'm not even into birth control, you know, pills and all those shots and all that stuff. I'm not even into that. I'm more into being responsible, know what you're doing. Shoot, teach folks how to know what they're doing around here. Shoot, yeah, you won't have to have all that. Birth control, I don't think it's the best thing for a woman's body. You know, you may stop you from having a baby, but it'll cause other issues and stuff. Ain't nobody got time for all that. I wouldn't want it in my body, and I wouldn't want my kids to have it in their bodies. You know, I would much rather talk to them and try to guide them and steer them the right way so they can make responsible choices and decisions and stuff. So that's the other, because we already dealing with too much stuff that's taking us up out of here. We got to eat every day, and this food ain't the best for our system, and we're going to put other stuff in it. It's just like, I just want to like to limit my, you know, limit all the foolishness as much as I can. Keep as much stuff out of me as I can have. You know, I don't want to put too much in me, and I don't really recommend it, you know, but I'm not going to frown up on nobody that chooses to do it. I'm not saying that they this or that. I'm not judging or criticizing nobody, but just for my own personal thing, I would prefer not to even use birth control. That's why when Mufasa raised that other point about doing something similar from, you know, as young, you know, when you're young, I couldn't find myself to even say yes to that, because it's unnatural, and it's like, you know, I just wish we can just come up with a better way to solve these issues. I just, for one thing, the way or a way to solve it, we have more of a spiritual foundation. Stop getting off to a late start and waiting until your kid is out to try to talk to them about stuff. You know, start with yourself. So when you do become pregnant, those things that you have already instilled in you, if you got your spiritual grounding, it's going to go into your kid anyway from birth, and then you just pick up and enforce it with your own actions once the baby is in your stomach, and start from there. Don't wait. You know, I think we always give ourselves a late start on things, and it creates problems. Instead of us trying to tackle things when we should tackle them, we try to come up with all these different methods and stuff, because either one, maybe we're not thinking to start early, or we just like, well, shoot, I ain't starting early. We can just come up with something. We can create this to help us along the way, you know. And I just think that's where we at. I just think society has, we always cripple ourselves, because everything that we create always takes us away from our spiritual grounding. It always takes us away. It cripples us. And that spiritual ground is what we need to overcome all these issues that we have in the world, you know. But instead, we try to create all these things along the way to kind of offset what we didn't do. And I don't think that's healthy for us.
Well, I think as far as birth control go, we all actually have access to it because Obama passed Obamacare. Everyone should have insurance. And with that insurance, you're entitled to get birth control.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the doctors need to talk to these patients more, or maybe all the females aren't going to see their OBGYN, or I don't know. I don't know what the case is. But
that's what I'm saying. Those are all late start prevention. Obama did this. See that,
right? But while we have them, we should utilize them, because
yeah,
it's too late now. Like you said, they have late starts. You have teenagers and 20-year-olds out here having kids back to back. But right now, they have access to birth control. Everybody should have insurance. Every single person. So there is no reason right now, as it stands, for them to not get some type of birth control.
Brother Cat,
pull out, gang. Pull out, gang.
Indeed, I'm here.
Pull out, gang.
What you got to say about that?
I'm here. I mean, I agree. You know, everybody was hitting on some good points, so I definitely agree. I think the problem we have run into, though, as far as like what Mufasa trying to implement, is, you know, trying to regulate everybody. You know, as far as like if somebody come in and they didn't have 3 or 4 abortions, you're talking about sterilizing them. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's feasible, because unfortunately it's just going to be certain people that just go abuse the system. You know what I'm saying? That's just going to happen. In any type of system you have, it's just going to be certain people that try to take advantage and, you know, use it for more than what it is. But, again, I think that go back to a society problem and how we look at, you know, sex, abortion, relationships as a whole. You know, that puts us in those situations to where, you know, we find ourselves having to think about an abortion or not, so... You know,
since we already know, and since we already know that we have choices and we can exercise our rights and exercise our choices, I think ideally the focus should be on making sure that the individual is a responsible person, that when it is time to make a choice, they're making a responsible choice, and they're strong enough and they understand that they have to live with their consequences as well, you know. So I think it seems like we always try to get away from, you know, the starting point. We don't like to start at number one. We want to start somewhere all the way down the line somewhere. We want to start while the house is built, and we don't realize we got to build it, you know. And I think the problem is that, you know, everybody has choice. We know that. But if the person and the individual who's making the choice is broken, is you know, kind of messed up, they probably going to make messed up choices over mm-hmm. and over again. You know?
Hello, so, say, you know, I got to throw this in there. It's all, the problem is, and I ain't going to take us off subject, but you know, the problem is that whole free will. We got free will. And as long as we got free will, people going to make them type of decisions because they got the choice and free will to do it. We can teach, educate, and I agree with you on doing it, but at the end of the day, free will is still going to make some make poor decisions.
Yeah, because like I was saying, if we don't fix the person that's making the choices, then our choices are gonna make wrong choices all the time. You know, unless it's by accident. We a lot of times accidentally do some good stuff. You know, but if the person who's making the choices is not, you know, clear and misguided and messed up and clouded and not so humane and all those things. I mean, what you think their choice is going to be? We all got them. We all got choices. We all got choices that we make. But, I mean, so the free will is just something that we just, it's a blessing. You know, it depends on how you choose to look at it. You know, it can be considered a curse. It can be considered a blessing. Free will, you know, it's definitely what sets us aside from the creatures. You know, that we do have, you know, choices. We think we have, you know, we have our intellect that guides us. We think and have logical things and react off of things, you know. And so, I mean, but since we do have choice and collect and a lot of things, you might as well use it for a good purpose. You know, might as well use it for a good purpose. So I think we always we doom ourselves by not talking and trying to encourage one another about our spirituality and all that and be more grounded. We're just trying to live life and do everything in regards to our five senses. And that's not what our five senses is only just for survival purposes. That's why they turned on the minute we come out. But it's for survival purposes. And we try to live our whole life based off of what our senses tell us. And they're not even accurate. Science has already taught us that our five senses are not accurate to the true reality. And we know that even without science. You can just know that just from your own self. You walk outside and see one half or see the front of the house, but you can't see the back of the house unless you go back around there. So our five senses is not going to ever show us the full picture. But we rely on it so much, and it's only given us half of a perception. But, yeah, we rely on it and depend on it so much until we can get beyond that. I think a lot of these issues that we have will be different. I think they'll go away.
We're going to have to do a free will show. Because, you know, like I say, I'm with you. As long as we got that, some of us going to make a choice even dealing with this topic. You know, we're going to make the right decision, the right, my free will is going to tell me, you know, to make sure as a man I am doing everything I can to not have a child and I'm not ready. And on the other hand, your free will going to say, shit, ooh, I cussed. I apologize, mom, if you're listening. That same free will will let you, your emotions get out of control and you going around knocking up everything you can just because you feel like you want to.
Exactly.
You know, so one person can use their free will for good in a decision and somebody else can make a bad choice. Uh-oh. I got a distraction over here. I got my woman in the background doing the beat up sign, like he gonna, like we on the playground. She messed with me.
Right. Well, we tell her we got like 5 minutes to the live broadcast, so we'll be good in a minute.
But she telling me to watch my mouth. She didn't want me to get too lucid with my mouth.
But yeah, just to, my last comment is like, besides the free will, I think a lot of this stuff go down to discipline and what's the word I'm looking for? Discipline and restraint. Because if you having sex and having a bunch of abortions, which I would consider anything over two a bunch. If you're doing things like that, then you just show, like, you have a lack of discipline and self-restraint and things of that nature. Like, the free will, you know, yeah, we got that, and people go make the choices they can make. But I think it's more of a question of discipline and how, I mean, you know, just responsible are you when it comes to having sex, you know what I mean? When it comes to bearing the seed and have doing that act, like how responsible and how disciplined are you to, you know, protect yourself and do the right thing if you're not, if you don't want to have kids, like Love Lachey say, like sex is for making babies. Like if you're not ready to make a baby, then you need to be more responsible to prevent yourself from having a baby or even the possibility of getting pregnant if you're going to, you know, engage in sex. So
can
I think
say
it's,
something?
It's more
can
of
I
a,
say
yeah, I mean, I, that's my last, right? That's my last thing.
You know what? Because to be quite honest, and I think I said this on another show, when it all boils down, we think we're really doing something, but we're not. We're not making ourselves pregnant to this, and this is what I'm saying. We can sit down and have sex 20 times a day, but guess what? I can't make myself pregnant. That's still up to somebody else that does that. I can have sex one time and barely have it and still become pregnant. And that's not my – I didn't make myself pregnant. So the thing is to say if I'm not ready to have a baby, then be responsible and cautious. Sex can – You can't say if you have a people have become pregnant wearing a condom on birth control, because the end of the day those things are out of our power and out of our control. So you can't so what you gonna tell your 15-year-old daughter? She said, "Well, I was being responsible. We had a condom on." No, don't have sex unless you're ready to have a baby, because you don't make that final decision if you're gonna become pregnant or not. You don't make that final decision. So,
right.
I understand,
that's what
Mary said. I'm not saying that I disagree, but I just want to think it's important to shed some extra light on it, because, just like we said before, sex is, whether we like it or not, it's for reproduction. So, I just want to, Mufasa, you say your last words. I want to thank everybody for listening to us again tonight. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Mufasa, what's your last word?
My last word is, like I said, I'm pro-life, but I understand where the pro-choice people are coming from. And for people who are pro-choice, you know, all I can say is really think about that decision that you're making before you make it, because you are ending a life to a fetus or a person who, you know, they don't have a choice in the matter of themselves. You end in the life. So I understand the circumstances that come up. But if you don't exercise that choice, just be as responsible as you can. Seek out help before you do it. Just don't just jump in and get an abortion. Take the time, think about it, and try to make the best choice you can for yourself and for that child.
Indeed. Collective Minds Radio.
DMR. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Continue to support.
See y'all next week.
And remember.